Amen. Okay, let's turn our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is part 14 and the last part of the class on music. Looking tonight at the importance of words, the importance of the words of a song. Matthew 6, and we'll begin in verse 5 in a moment. And let's see, Brother Jesse. There's Brother Jesse. Would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have what? Their reward. That's their reward. They just pray to do it for a show, so that's their reward, the show. But not much of a reward, is it? Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not what? Vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The word vain, according to Noah Webster's 1820 dictionary, the word vain means empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. So vain. So the Lord tells us not to pray just in many words, just in vain words. The Lord doesn't answer a prayer request just because we make our prayer long. It's not like, oh, I'm getting tired of listening to Mike pray. Okay, Mike, just quit praying. I'll answer. Just stop. I got the idea. I got the message. So just quit praying. That's not the idea. The Lord wants it from our hearts. It's the same way we know in salvation. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. It's got to be a sincere prayer. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed what? In vain. So, it's possible for a person to say a prayer that the person doesn't even mean for salvation. That's what we see back in Matthew, only let's go to chapter 7 this time, Matthew 7. In verse 21, this shows us that exact thing. People call on the Lord, but it's not from the heart. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall what? Enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Well, the only way someone is going to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, is if we call upon the Lord from what? Our hearts. It's got to be a decision from the heart. That's the only way we're going to follow through on this. And so that's the same way in salvation. It's the same way in praying about anything. And it's the same way in singing. How often do we pay attention to what we sing? The words we're talking about. Or are they just vain words? Remember, vain means empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. Someone has said, the most lying that ever goes on in the church is during the song service. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Look with me, please, at 394. 394. It's the song, I Surrender All. Maybe I should ask, did anyone choose this song that I talked to? Okay. 394, I Surrender All. Look at the words there in verse 1. All to Jesus I what? Surrender. What's the next word? All. All to him I freely give. I had a teacher in my schooling that said, if you ever use the word all, you better mean it. Don't just put like, you know, all people do this or all, everyone does that. If you write that in there, you better mean everyone. You better mean all. All to him I what? Freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. What? Daily live. Isn't that Proverbs 3, 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. That's that right there. In his presence daily live. Verse 2, all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Then what does it say? Worldly pleasures what? All forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. Well, if we sing that and mean it, that's quite a commitment, isn't it? Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. And then the chorus, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Well, so like I said, someone has said a lot of lying goes on in church when the congregational singing is going on. Well, I don't know if that's outright lying or not, or if it's just more vain words. Words we're not really thinking about while we are singing, but we need to. I think part of the reason that contemporary music crept into the church as well is because we look for something like the music to excite us instead of the words to encourage us to serve the Lord. I think there's a lack of emphasis on the words of the song and an overemphasis on the music. And I think that's pretty consistent statement, because once a church goes to the contemporary realm, they never like to mix it up. In other words, okay, if all music is neutral and all music is okay, then, okay, if they go to the contemporary song, why don't they just mix it up during the service? Why don't they have a contemporary song and then a traditional hymn? And a contemporary song and then a traditional hymn. But they don't do that. Once it goes contemporary, it's all contemporary. And so I think they're looking to the wrong thing to give them a good feeling. We don't like to talk about feelings. We like to talk about faith. But so it's an overemphasis on the music of the song. And I think that's why, as we talked about before, the professional soundtracks were used for special music. I know in the early 80s, I noticed it was really coming in to Baptist churches, not using the pianist or the organist, and just going to a professional soundtrack played, and then the special music, the vocalist would sing to that. And of course, we talked about that's how the drums and the rock beat were introduced into most Baptist churches that very way. So, don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight either. I'm not saying that it's not good for us to do the best we can, whether it's singing or playing. We should strive to do well. When I played the cornet in junior high school, I practiced and practiced and practiced. And I didn't take it lightly. And as I said in one of the series of this music, we had tryouts every so often. And so I took those seriously and I did extra practicing. And I prayed, Lord, please help me to do well in tryouts. I didn't just pray. I didn't used to like that when teachers would say, and they would pray just before they gave us a test. They would pray, now, please, Lord, please bless the students according as they have studied. Well, I don't know if I like that prayer or not. You should just pray, Lord, bless the students. Help them all to get an A. Now, that would sound better, at least from the students' perspective. But that's not what I did in tryouts. I practiced and I prayed and I practiced and I prayed. Lord, please help me when I do this before the band instructor. And so we should do the best that we can. But despite all of that, we are all what? Human. We're frail. We make mistakes, and lots of them. If the song leader makes a mistake, it shouldn't spoil your blessing out of the songs. If the musician makes a mistake, that shouldn't spoil the song service for you. If someone close to you is out of tune, that shouldn't spoil the song service for you. If we are really looking to the right thing, none of those things should affect our blessing. And why I say that is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Now, we don't come to church to worship man. And so whether we receive a blessing at church really has nothing to do with people. It has everything to do with how we come with a heart ready to worship God. In 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen what? The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are what? Despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should what? Glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him what? Glory in the Lord. Boy, that hit home with me. In a recent message, I had to sing just one verse of, I think it was three different songs. And in that message, I didn't want my voice to be on the recording. So I handed the mic back to Pastor Jeremy. And sometimes I've been out in the hallway doing some things when Pastor Jeremy leads the singing. And so I knew his voice was good, and so that I handed the mic back, and I don't know what happened, but it didn't get recorded that way. And that night, I listened online just to check how that come out, and I was horrified because I heard my own voice. And I said to Brother Barry, I said, that message has got to come down. That is just pathetic sounding. Well, he didn't take it down. And out there now, that is one of the most shared messages on the site. And talk about humiliating. When I first heard that, I was blushing at home. I was in my study and my face was hot. I was so embarrassed at the way I sounded. And so the whole point is this. The Lord has a way of humbling us. And the point is this. No one is downloading that message because of me. It is in spite of me. It's something else that blessed their heart. But that's my point. If we mess up, it doesn't have to destroy the song service if we are focusing on the right thing. Maybe a song is sung slower than it's written. Maybe the song leader is inexperienced. Maybe it's a musician that's not as experienced yet, and so it's hard for them to think of everything. Which that reminds me, I was told, this is another thing for us who lead songs, me included. We talked about, that the musicians and the congregation are supposed to watch the song leader for when he comes down on that first beat. And I was told that even in my song leading, that sometimes I'm not making it very clear that downbeat. You can do a lot of this up here, but nobody knows where you are until you come down on the beat. And I was told that sometimes it's not too clear when I'm leading the songs that come down. So for us song leaders, the musicians are looking for that now, especially Stephen, we talked about it. So it's just something for us to practice. Whatever you're doing up here in the sky, just make sure they can see you're coming down on the first beat of the measure, or they don't know where you're at. You know, they may be up in the sky with you, and who knows? So that's something us song leaders can do to help out. So, but the point is this: if we are paying attention to the words of a song, whether it's being sung a little slower than normal or slower than it's written, or for that matter, maybe some churches put everything in double time. I mean, they just fly and you can't hardly catch your breath. You can't even hardly say all the words in the song because they're going so fast. But whether you think it's too slow or too fast, if our hearts are really in it and looking at the words and singing the words to the Lord, it won't matter. Okay. We'll still be blessed from it. So I've asked all the different ones that normally lead songs if they would just share with us what's on their hearts tonight. I've asked each of them to pick out a song as the Lord leads them and to pick out two verses of the song. And then when they come up, I've asked them to kind of share with the congregation why this song is special to them and why the words just speak to their hearts. So I'm going to ask Pastor Jeremy if you would like to lead us in this one. Okay. Let's see. Sister Megan, was you playing tonight? Would you mind playing again for us? Thank you.
Might be scary. Well, being first is easy, because then if you pick this song, then you'll have to figure a different one out. Okay, so I actually picked out a different song, but then I heard rumors that somebody else already had it. So as I just flipped through the pages, 39. And I don't know about you, but I have different favorite songs at different times. Different songs mean something special to you at different times in your life or in different times of the day. And so this one, as I just considered where we're at right now with this corona, this is My Father's World. To my listening ears, all nature sings. And it just made me think as I read through these words, I don't think the squirrels and the deer are too worried about the coronavirus, and I don't think they're too worried about the stock market either. And so there's peace out there that we're reminded of that He's promising to us. So just a few thoughts. And as we sing through the song, there are probably a few more thoughts that come to your mind as well. Well, let's sing the first and the third.
This is My Father's world, and to My listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is My Father's world. I rest me in the rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonder draws. This is My Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems not so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is My Father's world. Shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Amen. Well, that was a blessing, and that really does associate with what we're facing, this whole corona thing. And though the wrong seems all so strong, and there's more and more are saying they figured this virus probably did start out of the lab. And okay, thank you, Pastor Jeremy. And then Brother Steve, would you like to come?
Number 62, crown him with many crowns. I like songs that have music that agrees with the words. And the words of the song kind of more amplify the tune of the song more than the tune amplifies the words. But they go well together. As Pastor Jeremy said, thinking about coronavirus, you know, things different, being out of control. You know, this is my Father's world, and you know, what do we have to worry about? But crown, you know, that has to do with a kingdom, and it has to do with royalty, has to do with authority, and we can be thankful that Jesus is the ruler, and he's a righteous ruler. We've had on this earth, you know, we've had good and bad rulers. You know, there's never a perfect ruler. There's never a perfect leader. There's never a perfect person. There's never perfect anything. Jesus is that perfect ruler, and we long for the day when he is our ultimate ruler and guide. Although he is kingdom does rule in our hearts right now, we look for that today when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all. And we long for that day. So this song is going to speak about his crown. Right? He's being crowned. He's a king. He's a king of everything. He's Lord of love, Lord of life, Lord of heaven. So let's sing the first and the last.
Crown him with many crowns.
As we center on the words to a song, it really just lifts our hearts. Many of these songs are like a prayer. Others are just like a wonderful praise. Amen.
Well, I know I, for one, as guilty as charged. I usually sing songs and I don't necessarily make the words have the feeling that they probably should. So I picked number 61, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. I picked this partially the last week or so through different things at work. And then this week I actually started picking up a book that I started reading a long time ago, but I didn't have enough interest to actually read it. But now I realized I needed a little bit more, so I've picked it up, started reading. And when my dad said that he was going to have everybody do this tonight, I thought about it, flipped through the hymn book, and I'm like, you know, there really isn't any song in particular that I believe has any distinct meaning, really, because I like a lot of them. I could easily pick off a dozen different songs. I don't really have a favorite one. So I continued and went ahead and read my book some more today and finished a chapter, and I realized, you know, this book is talking a lot about love and how no matter how bad we are, how much we ignore God, he's right there waiting for us, wanting us to commune with him. He wants a relationship so deep we can't even fathom it. We don't understand him in the smallest amounts. So I flipped through half a dozen different songs, a couple of them, one which Pastor Jeremy actually picked. I had thought about it, did not pick that one. Probably a couple more of the guys, I heard their numbers and I thought about those ones too. But I figured this is the only one that actually says in the first verse, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, speaking of his love. It is so deep and so powerful that we're never going to be able to understand it until we get to heaven to be with him. So let's sing verse 1 and verse 2 of 61.
Have you stand for this one? I'll give you a stretch here a little bit.
A song that has meant a lot to me in the last couple of years is the simple song Trust and Obey. For the simplicity that it is just trusting and obeying. Anything that comes into your life, as verse 2 and 3 say, the shadow can rise, a cloud can come in the sky, but his smile quickly drives it away. And it's a little bit figurative there, but it's the fact that God's never troubled by these things. Amen. Not a doubt, nor a sigh. Verse 3 goes on, the burdens we bear, the sorrows we share, our toil, he doth richly repay. Not a grief, nor a loss, not a frown, nor a cross. But they're blessed if we trust him and obey him. And it goes beyond that, as you're reading your Bible. It's the simplicity of what you read, you trust, and you obey. When God speaks, you may not like it. Giving out a gospel tract, speaking to someone about the gospel, giving the gospel to them. Even maybe talking to a brother and reminding him of truth in God's word. It's not easy to do that, but when we trust and obey, God blesses. And it's a simple truth that really so often we disobey. And we don't just simply trust God for what he says. So there's a lot of verses there, but two, we will start with the first and we'll end with the fourth.
We walk with the Lord in the light of his word.
seated.
Then Brother Joe, if you'd like to come. We never can prove the delights of his love until on the altar we lay. Amen. Okay.
All right, number 36. A mighty fortress is our God. This has always been one of my favorite hymns. Just thinking about all the crazy stuff we see going on in this world. The history of the world really isn't all that glorious with all the the evil. When you read the history books, all the evil empires and those who ruled so many kingdoms in this world with, you know, an iron fist, and just thinking about our nation, the freedom we've been blessed to have. So many nations in the past didn't have that. It's interesting. This song was written during the time of the Reformation, so it was a time when there was some really harsh battles taking place in Europe over how people worshiped God and how they saw fit to worship God. And just thinking that God is our fortress. It doesn't matter. It seems like evil has prevailed in our land or in this world so much throughout history. But God is our fortress. He's a bulwark that never fails. Verse 1. He's our helper amid the flood. Doesn't matter what the flood is. And there's an ancient foe that's been working against us throughout history that's made he's the one that really helped to bring evil into this world in the first place. His craft and power are great. We see his craft in the Garden of Eden, and we see it today with just all the deception that we see in around the world. We're seeing more and more in our country, which is sad. But I love how this song reminds us, you know, especially verse 4, you know, God's kingdom is not of this world. We can get all stressed out about the freedoms disappearing in our country and, you know, thinking about the U.S. being the last stronghold for freedom and liberty. Well, we don't need to worry about all that because God's in control. One day he'll have a kingdom that's going to be forever and, you know, let goods and kindreds go. We so easily get wrapped up with all the things in this mortal life. When, you know, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking toward, not some sort of, you know, fulfillment on this earth with all these goods. And, you know, we can leave all that behind. You know, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. So this song's just always been a blessing to me in the tune of it. It's just a victorious song, just thinking about God being victorious, and like the first couple of songs, he's king. Amen. So let's sing verses 1 and 4.
Valley.
Matthew. Let's see. Christy, were you playing the keyboard tonight? If you'd like to come. Sorry, I forgot about that. So,
okay. Thanks, Brother Matthew. Was anybody going to pick 270, the Haven of Rest? No? Okay. Well, then we'll go this one. Otherwise, I was going to do a different one, which I was originally thinking about doing 381, Israel on the Altar. But I think God led me to this specifically. So 270, the Haven of Rest. And this has become a very close song to me, especially this last year. And that Christ is our haven of rest. Amen. And we all, honestly, a lot of times we don't let that happen. Mm-hmm. And so it says, my soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And how that any time we're troubled and worried and discouraged about anything, kind of goes back to the message I preached a few weeks ago. We can rest in who the Lord is. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 2, but verses 3 and 4, I wanted to read those quick because it's kind of like, well, it says, the song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story of so blessed, of Jesus who will save whosoever will have a home in that haven of rest. And then that's kind of like a personal testimony. But then for us is, oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits. So now that's just appeal. And so that's what resting in our haven of rest does for us. Mm-hmm. We have our own testimony, and then our goal and focus is on others. So let's sing 270. And you'll probably notice that this is one of those songs with Tempest and Jesus in the chorus, with the eighth note at the beginning of the measure. But don't overemphasize that either, because it's not going to sound any better if you go, the Tempest, because that also, either way, if you overemphasize anything, it's not going to sound right. So honestly, the way to sing that is when you go, the Tempest, what you want to, in a sense, legato the eighth note into that dotted quarter note and sustain them both at the equal level. You don't want to overemphasize either one, because the song is not to overemphasize either parts of that. It's just, the Tempest may sweep. And it's not Jesus, it's Jesus. You don't need to overemphasize part of Jesus. He's the same. So just sing him. Sing those two words, the same emphasis, and just legato that eighth note into that next thing, and then there's going to be no trouble with any contemporary sounding music, okay? So let's sing the Haven of Rest 1 and 2.
My soul is that exile was out on high sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your joy, and I entered the I yield.
actually did notice one thing while I was looking at it. We actually don't sing it according to what this thing is. We're singing I heard everybody singing eighth notes, but also if we look down a wild, stormy deep, everybody sings, wild, stormy deep. So we make the wild a half note, and we make the next two words eighth notes. So we play with the music a lot, but either way.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Matthew. Brother Jesse. Okay. Amen.
Number 452, my Savior's love. It starts out saying, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. So after I looked at that, I'm like, that'll work. I stand amazed in God's love. You know, as we sing these songs, we should be in a spirit. I believe we are in a spirit of praise and thankfulness for God's love. In verse 5, it says, when with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. The thing I like to point about that is we're going to, in heaven, sing of his love, sing the same song of thankfulness for what he's done for us. So let's sing verse 1 and 5, 452.
Brother Luke, if you could, if anything needs adjusting there, you could help there. Thank you.
Well, Matthew, you actually did take mine, but it's all right. I'll just take your other one. Number 381 is you're all on the altar. And they're both speaking of pretty much the same thing. Verse 1 says, you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Amen. And many times, we want peace, we want rest, and we have earnestly prayed. But our prayers do no good. And we will never receive that peace and rest until we have surrendered all to God and have let Him take control of our life. Verse 2 goes on, would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment alway? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. And many times we talk of walking with God, and that will never happen unless we have given our all to Him first. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We can't walk with God until we have agreed with God that He is in control of our life, that our sin is wrong, and that His way is right. And so the rest of the song continues, "Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and all our all on the altar is laid." And so it continues to go on. We cannot know, or we cannot even imagine what God can do in our life until we have laid our all on the altar. Verse 4, "Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. All the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid." And that just wraps it all up. We can't even imagine the love of God. And we can't even imagine how happy we could be once we have accepted his will and have surrendered our will to his will. And so let's sing verses 1 and 4.
Number 354. 354, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, this is not my favorite song, just because it's kind of slow. But, and whenever I pick out songs, I usually come across a song and I'm like, nah, let's not sing it tonight. But the words are powerful, and they were a special blessing to me today. And it talks a lot about prayer and taking your trials, your griefs, all our sins and griefs, verse 1. And our trials and our temptations, our discouragements, and we can find rest at Jesus' feet. But recently, I was seeking the Lord about something, and the Lord can also give us guidance for any trial or any decision that we need to make, and it's what a blessing. And so this song is a special blessing to me, and let's sing verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Thank you, all of you men. I appreciate your words. And I guess kind of just closing it, the Lord had Brother Ethan close it that way just for a reason. You know, it's like when we pray. When someone prays to thank God for a meal, how many times do we really think about what they're saying? I mean, we should be one with them in heart, shouldn't we? As they're thanking God for the food, from our hearts, we should be thanking God for that food too. So oftentimes we don't really thank God for something until we miss it. You know, like they tell us, you know, well, we could have a meat shortage now. Well, you know, when's the last time we really, from our hearts, thanked God for, you know, a piece of meat, you know, whatever it was. So it was interesting. Brother Ethan chose this, even though he didn't necessarily like it because of the speed, but it was the words that matched today what was on his heart. And that's just the thought I'd like to close this session with music out with, is that, and I noticed other of you said too, you know, you thought maybe the words really went well with the music that was written to us sometimes. And sometimes, as Brother Lucas chose, the deep, deep love of Jesus. That song always makes me think of Brother Forrest. That was always his favorite, what he picked. And it is true, the words are tremendous, but that tone of that song, the music, is not my favorite, but as Brother Luke talked about the words too, it's just tremendous. So it's kind of like Brother Ethan in that song, the music, the words, the same as that one with me. But the whole point I wanted to end this series with is that you have favorite tunes, and then you have other songs that are not your favorite tune. But the point is that each song can be a blessing if we really focus on the words. Just not singing vainly, but really focus on the words, that every song service, our hearts can be blessed, no matter what songs are chosen, if we really focus on those words. So, okay, and thinking about that, in closing, let's go to 170. 170. This song is like a prayer to my heart. Every time we sing it, just the words are so tremendous. And I appreciate all of your thoughts and the songs you chose tonight. Let's stand as we sing together, 170. Church, thank you for all of you who take part in so many different preaching, singing, so many things. Praise the Lord. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father in heaven, we thank you for all the people that have labored in love and endeavored to put the words of their hearts on paper. Amen. And to endeavor to put a tune that matches the words, Lord, that that would encourage others and also be able to communicate a message. There's many messages of truth in our hymnal. We're so grateful for that. And as we think of the children of Israel, how they came through the Red Sea and they sang songs and wrote songs about you, about your greatness, so they could communicate this to their children. And oftentimes it's much easier for us to learn when we put something to memory by a tune.
Yes.
And so when we hear some notes, they instantly bring back some memories.
Yes.
And I pray that our memories would be of you all the time as we meditate upon you and have a song in our heart. Please continue to bless and be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.